Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Advisor Arena Podcast. I'm Josh Watson. A little different today. I'm opening the show, so I've got my co-host Jamie Malm with me. And today we're diving into a topic that I think is timely for September. We're all thinking about going back to school. Kids are starting back to school. And so college planning is the topic of our conversation today.
Yep. And I think as advisors, we may not necessarily position ourselves as college planners, but if we don't ask about it, if we're not talking about it, they're going to get advice from somebody else, or worse, they're going to make decisions in a bubble that actually hurt their retirement and hurt the plan that you've put together for them. So today's episode is all about how we as advisors can fold college planning into the bigger conversation and make sure that's not something that we're leaving untouched.
Exactly. And really, I mean, here's the reality. You know, tuition costs are front of mind for a lot of families out there, especially those with teenagers. So what we often see, though, is we see parents sacrificing their own retirement savings just to cover those costs. And so they have conflicting goals. You know, they want to save for retirement, but at the same time, they want their kid to graduate from college. They don't want them to be buried in debt, and they want them to go on and have a successful, happy life. So there's some pulling
conflict there.
I
agree. We see that all the time where it's like, I want to max out my 401k, or I want to be contributing X amount, but for these years, I feel like I've got to redirect those funds. And that's where we can come in, as it's not necessarily about being the college expert or knowing every detail about every loan repayment program and exactly how to fill out the FAFSA, although important to have a baseline knowledge of those things. This is really about helping clients understand trade-offs and prioritize their goals. And if it is something where they've got to pick one over another for a set time period, we should be helping them plan for that. We should be showing, okay, well, then this is what happens to your plan. So if we simply ask a question like, what role do you see yourself playing in funding your kids or your grandkids' education, it should open the door to a much bigger planning conversation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So let's kind of talk about when this actually would come up. And so is it when, you know, you're meeting with a new client, doing discovery, you know, where does that college planning conversation fit in?
Yeah, this is something that may not be, depending on your client and how old their kids are and, you know, what their main goal is, where they come in to see you. It may not be something that comes up on the first meeting or even the second meeting. It may not even come up until after they are already your client. But at some point, we should be having a conversation about competing priorities. We should be having a conversation about retirement and debt management and insurance needs and legacy goals. And we can't usually fix all of those things on the first appointment. We have to start with maybe the most pressing need and then build upon that as we build the plan. But even if college isn't top of mind today, it almost always becomes a topic in some way, shape, or form for clients who are in their 40s and 50s. And that's, I think, your demographic that you want to look at. And you want to start thinking about, when do I incorporate this into my appointment process?
You're exactly right. And for me, I think the earlier, you know, you ask somebody, it's really going to open up more options for them. So I think just by including it on your fact finder or your intake form, even if it doesn't necessarily apply to them, you show your clients that you're thinking beyond just investments. You're thinking about their family goals and those other important aspects of putting together a solid, holistic financial plan.
Yeah, this reminds me of a recent scenario that we went through. We're interviewing dog trainers. If you don't know, we are a dog family. We have four at home and two females. And one of the females has gotten really aggressive to the other. We have reached out to three different behavior trainers, specialists, whatever you want to call them. And Brad and I were just having a conversation about it last night. And he said, you know, the first two were okay, but the third one spent like 20 minutes with me asking all these questions. And some of them didn't apply to our dogs at all. It didn't apply to our situation. But the fact that she was asking questions and digging in and showcasing, hey, I understand how all this can fit into the bigger picture, that was why we chose to go with her. And it's a good reminder that, just like you said, even if it's not top of mind for them, the fact that you're asking about it shows you know how to incorporate it into the plan and you understand that it can impact the plan. So that's a big one. I think I touched on this a minute ago, but you don't have to be an expert in grants and scholarships and federal aid. Some advisors think, well, I've got to memorize the FAFSA rules and I'm going to spend all my time helping clients and prospective clients fill out financial aid forms. That is not the case. You do have to have like a basic understanding so you can guide the conversation on those things, but you need to remember your area of expertise. So grants and scholarships, obviously the focus of like a foundational plan, sort of how we talk about in retirement, there being a foundation of income plan. Grants and scholarships should be the foundation for kids. That can mean you're giving them some direction to maybe get involved with extracurriculars or looking at college credits or focusing on their GPA. But most importantly, we're just trying to give them a timeline. Like freshman, sophomore year for your teenagers, that's where they're laying the foundation. Starting around junior year, that's where you're going to start really encouraging applications to private grants and tracking local scholarship deadlines. And then federal loans, I would say most want to position this as a safety net, not necessarily a primary strategy. A lot of these subsidized loans, there's changes that are happening. There's a lot to them. You don't want to misdirect somebody if this is not your area of expertise, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. You just have to understand debt management. And the goal, like you said in the beginning, is we want our kids to come away with an education and not be completely buried in debt. So how do we do that?
That's so true. And that's where you can add as an advisor. That's where you can add real value, in my opinion. So they don't expect you, clients don't expect you to be a FAFSA guru, but they do value a trusted advisor, someone who says, look, here's the order you need to do this in to set yourself up to have the best chance of success. So look at the free money first, our scholarships, our grants, then look at the federal aid, you know, second, then your savings, and then loans. So yeah, just know, hey, here's the best way to do that. You don't have to be an expert in each one of those areas.
Yeah, the order of operations is huge. Loans last, because we don't want to borrow more than we absolutely have to. And that is an area where I think you can almost help your clients communicate effectively with their kids. And they appreciate that. Sometimes we serve as more of a psychologist or therapist with how do we talk to older family members? How do we communicate difficult conversations? No different with kids. Kids have this idea of I'm going to go away to this college, or I'm going to go out of state, or I want to go Ivy League. They may not fully grasp what that means either for the parents or what it means for the child. And I'll give another example here. When Emma and I sat down, she's my oldest, when we sat down and talked about college, I said, okay, Dad and I are going to make sure that you have a college education, but you can get that at the community college, 20 minutes up the road. You can live at home. Here's how much that costs. We will pay for that. Anything beyond that amount, if you want to go somewhere else, then you need to apply for scholarships. You need to look for private grants in the field of study that you want to go into, or you're going to have to take a loan. And I remember her saying, wow, let's take a loan. Okay, well, let's look at what the loan amount would be by the time you graduate and then what your payment would be. And I remember her being shocked. She said, how would I ever afford that payment? I said, you probably wouldn't, which is why we're having the conversation now. So making sure kids have an understanding of the goal is that you don't graduate and are completely buried in this debt where you can't get ahead, you can't afford to live, you can't afford a car payment or a mortgage or even rent because all of your funds are going to pay the student loan debt. When they understand that and we help them see the bigger picture, I think that's extremely valuable.
You're 100% correct. And you know, I think that brings up another point is there are accounts that people can invest in before somebody goes off to college to help, you know, maybe avoid having to apply for those scholarships or those student loans. And so we get asked all the time, clients are asking all the time, hey, should I put money in, let's say, a 529 plan or something else along those lines?
Yeah, this is another area where advisors can differentiate themselves because you should be comfortable giving them the rundown of their options. This is an area that they're going to want some direction. So 529 plans are probably the most used. They're the most asked about. They're the most well-known. They work kind of like a Roth. And so people understand that. I put money into it. It grows tax deferred. I pull money out for education. It comes out tax free. There are some other little caveats to that. There are things like getting a deduction if you are invested in your own state's 529 plan, although you can invest in any state's 529 plan. There are some little tax nuances there that you might want to be aware of or at least have a strategic partner with a tax professional that can help give some guidance there. These have also gotten a little more flexible. So they used to be extremely rigid. If you did not use the money for post-secondary education, you were kind of out of luck. The Secure Act 2.0 has passed a rule now that states unused funds, some of them, and there are some pretty strict guidelines here, can actually be converted to a Roth. They have to have been in place for 15 years. You can't have made contributions that you want to transfer in the last 5 years. You have to adhere to the max contribution limits for a Roth annually, and the lifetime max is only $35,000. So it's not a huge safety net or don't worry, I'll put all this money in a 529 plan when my child is born, save in it for 20 years, they end up not using it. You can pass that down to other kids. You can go to parents can use it, kids can use it. I think first cousins. There might be some others in there. So you can let others use the funds, but I think you want to be really intentional with what you're going to be contributing to. You can also use it for trade school and some post-secondary things that aren't college. So they have gotten a little more lenient, but we need to know the restrictions on those.
Yep. There's definitely some rules behind those. And so you're just being prepared. Knowing what those rules are, how exactly they work. That way a client down the road doesn't get sideways and, you know, they completely understand. So that's the whole key.
Yep. Coverdell ESAs, they're another one. I don't hear much about these. I can probably count on one hand the number of times I've had a client ask or an advisor ask. They can be used K through 12 as well as college, but the contribution limits are limited to like, I think it's like $2,000 a year. And then you have your UGMA or UTMA, which is the Uniform Gift to Minors Act or the Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. These are custodial accounts. So these are a little more flexible. Few things to keep in mind. They are considered the student's asset on financial aid forms. So this is where having a baseline knowledge of how you're going to fill out the FAFSA and what's right for that family comes into play. And these, because it's the child's asset, they get total control at either 18 or 21, depending on your state. So you just have to know kind of what is right. And if it is an account or a type of plan that is specific for education, know the nuances, like you said, and choose appropriately.
100%. And this, I think the key, like you said, it's knowing the rules, helping your clients kind of weigh the pros and the cons of each one of those plans. And I think that's going to show a ton of value. I know it's going to show a ton of value. And at the end of the day, that just one more reason it goes to show them that that's why they can't replace you with a simple Google search. You're not going to figure this out just by getting on Google and reading some articles. So it gives you the opportunity to really shine.
Yep. I've heard the line used, you can borrow for college, but you can't borrow for retirement. And clients really need to hear that. Our job is to help them figure out, how are we going to balance this? How do we make this work for everybody? And helping them see that funding their retirement, either in addition to college, but not, we don't want to do college in place of retirement entirely. That actually helps protect their kids long term. If we have a parent who does not have the means to support themselves throughout their retirement years, that can be a huge financial burden on the children, far greater than what the student loans would have been. And I think a lot of parents aren't thinking about that long term. They're thinking right now, it's, I should help them. I should make sure that they don't come away with all this debt. Well, what's the end result of that? Are you actually creating a larger burden for them? So something to think about.
Sure. Yeah. So they get a nice college education and then you have to move in with them. You know, that's not exactly the greatest.
My kids would not probably be excited about that. I don't know. Emma said she's in, she'll take care of me. The others would be like, nah, I'll pay for my own college. So here's where we can start incorporating this into your process. If you need kind of a framework on how to get started with this, I would add just something simple like education goals, or what role do you want to play? Something open-ended to your fact finder, to your intake form, to your discovery process. We want to be educating when appropriate on the different types of saving vehicles, but always in the context of retirement first. And then I think it's helpful to have a simple timeline. You talked about this before, where we can provide a lot of value as helping parents navigate, what the heck do I do and when do I do it? They just get bombarded with all this information. And am I too late? Should I have done this 5 years ago? A timeline checklist for FAFSA, for scholarships, for deadlines, for things that you should be looking for grants. You can almost position yourself as a connector to other experts and introduce them to other resources if needed. And that in and of itself is extremely valuable.
And by doing that, you're not only solving a big client concern, you're also positioning yourself as a multi-generational advisor. So good door opener to that next generation. If you're able to help them or help their parents put them through college, they're going to remember that. And so great way to open the door to maybe some future clients along the way.
Agreed. I think here's the big takeaway. We don't want to ignore college planning, even if it's not your specialty, even if you don't consider yourself a college funding expert. Weaving it into client conversations shows that you are truly a holistic advisor and you're not going to ignore something that is a major financial concern for any family that's in that age demographic. It's like you said, that's the type of advisor families keep for life. So if this is something that you feel like you need a little more support in, you need some guidance, you want to create some custom pieces, maybe some of those timeline checklists, that is what we're here for. Reach out to us. You can always email us at theadvisorarena@gradientfg.com. Gradient FG, Gradient IB.
Gradient IB. You do that occasionally.
What number episode do you think this is?
Once a year. You do it about every 100 episodes, I feel like.
I gave my wrong phone number on my other podcast last week. I mean, just rolled off the tongue and I was like, that's not my phone number. So guys, I mean, it's going to be a crapshoot every time you listen to this podcast on whether I get our email right. theadvisorarena@gradientib.com. In my defense, we have both domains. And so I have to remember which is which. Okay, so theadvisorarena@gradientib.com. That's the easiest way to reach our team. Let us know, hey, this is something that I want to start incorporating. I'm just not quite sure of my next step. And we will help you.
Awesome.
Anything that I've forgotten?
I think it was great. No, I can't think of anything. like you said, reach out to us, gradientib.com, and look forward to hearing from everybody. And if anybody has any additional questions, we've got plenty of resources to lean on to help you out.
And don't forget, it helps us so much if you leave a rating, if you leave a review, if you subscribe. That helps us build the podcast. It gives us great feedback. It helps others find us. So if you find the content that we're sharing valuable, we would appreciate it so much if you would do that. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Josh.